How shall we search the Scriptures? How shall we search the Scriptures in order to understand what they teach? We should come to the investigation of God's Word with a contrite heart, a teachable and prayerful spirit. We are not to think, as did the Jews, that our own ideas and opinions are infallible, nor with the Papists, that certain individuals are the sole guardians of truth and knowledge, that men have no right to search the Scriptures for themselves, but must accept the explanations given by the fathers of the Church. We should not study the Bible for the purpose of sustaining our preconceived opinions, but with the single object of learning what God has said. Some have feared that, if in even a single point they acknowledge themselves in error, other minds would be led to doubt the whole theory of truth. Therefore, they have felt that investigation should not be permitted, that it would tend to dissension and disunion. But if such is to be the result of investigation, the sooner it comes, the better. If there are those whose faith in God's Word will not stand the test of an investigation of the Scriptures, the sooner they are revealed, the better. For then the way will be open to show them their error. We cannot hold that a position once taken, an idea once advocated, is not, under any circumstances, to be relinquished. There is but one who is infallible, he who is the way, the truth, and the life. Those who allow prejudice to bar the mind against the reception of truth cannot receive the divine enlightenment. Yet, when a view of Scripture is presented, many do not ask, "Is it true, in harmony with God's Word?" But, "By whom is it advocated?" And unless it comes through the very channel that pleases them, they do not accept it. So thoroughly satisfied are they with their own ideas that they will not examine the Scripture evidence with a desire to learn, but refuse to be interested, merely because of their prejudices. The Lord often works where we least expect Him. He surprises us by revealing His power through instruments of His own choice, while He passes by the men to whom we have looked as those through whom light should come. God desires us to receive the truth upon its own merits, because it is truth. The Bible must not be interpreted to suit the ideas of men, however long they may have held these ideas to be true. We are not to accept the opinion of commentators as the voice of God. They were erring mortals like ourselves. God has given reasoning powers to us as well as to them. We should make the Bible its own expositor. All should be careful about presenting new views of Scripture before they have given these points thorough study and are fully prepared to sustain them from the Bible. Introduce nothing that will cause dissension without clear evidence that in it God is giving a special message for this time. But beware of rejecting that which is truth. The great danger with our people has been that of depending upon men and making flesh their arm. Those who have not been in the habit of searching the Bible for themselves or weighing evidence have confidence in the leading men and accept the decisions they make, and thus many will reject the very messages God sends to His people, if these leading brethren do not accept them. No one should claim that he has all the light there is for God's people. The Lord will not tolerate this. He has said, "I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." Revelation 3, verse 8. Even if all our leading men should refuse light and truth, that door will still remain open. The Lord will raise up men who will give the people the message for this time. Truth is eternal, and conflict with error will only make manifest its strength. We should never refuse to examine the Scriptures with those who, we have reason to believe, desire to know what is truth. Suppose a brother held a view that differed from yours, and he should come to you, proposing that you sit down with him and make an investigation of that point in the Scriptures. Should you rise up, filled with prejudice, and condemn his ideas, while refusing to give him a candid hearing? The only right way would be to sit down as Christians and investigate the position presented in the light of God's work, which will reveal truth and unmask error. To ridicule his ideas would not weaken his position in the least if it were false, or strengthen your position if it were true. If the pillars of our faith will not stand the test of investigation, it is time that we knew it. There must be no spirit of Phariseeism cherished among us. We should come with reverence to the study of the Bible, feeling that we are in the presence of God. All lightness and trifling should be laid aside. While some portions of the word are easily understood, the true meaning of other parts is not so readily discerned. There must be patient study and meditation, and earnest prayer. Every student, as he opens the Scriptures, should ask for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, and the promise is sure that it will be given. The spirit in which you come to the investigation of the Scriptures will determine the character of the assistant at your side. Angels from the world of light will be with those who in humility of heart seek for divine guidance. But if the Bible is opened with irreverence, with a feeling of self-sufficiency, if the heart is filled with prejudice, Satan is beside you, and he will set the plain statements of God's Word in a perverted light. There are some who indulge in levity, sarcasm, and even mockery toward those who differ with them. Others present an array of objections to any new view, and when these objections are plainly answered by the words of Scripture, they do not acknowledge the evidence presented, nor allow themselves to be convinced. Their questioning is not for the purpose of arriving at truth, but was intended merely to confuse the minds of others. Some have thought it an evidence of intellectual keenness and superiority to perplex minds in regard to what is truth. They resort to subtlety of argument, to playing upon words. They take unjust advantage in asking questions. When their questions have been fairly answered, they will turn the subject, bring up another point, to avoid acknowledging the truth. We should beware of indulging the spirit which controlled the Jews. They would not learn of Christ because his explanation of the Scriptures did not agree with their ideas. Therefore, they became spies upon his track, laying wait for him, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Luke 11, verse 54-52. Let us not bring upon ourselves the fearful denunciation of the Savior's words, "Woe unto you, lawyers! For ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." Luke 11, verse 54-52. It does not require much learning or ability to ask questions that are difficult to answer. A child may ask questions over which the wisest men may be puzzled. Let us not engage in a contest of this kind. The very same unbelief exists in our time as prevailed in the days of Christ. Now as then, the desire for preferment and the praise of men leads people away from the simplicity of true godliness. There is no pride so dangerous as spiritual pride. Young men should search the Scriptures for themselves. They are not to feel that it is sufficient for those older in experience to find out the truth, that the younger ones can accept it from them as authority. The Jews perished as a nation because they were drawn from the truth of the Bible by their rulers, priests, and elders. Had they heeded the lessons of Jesus and searched the Scriptures for themselves, they would not have perished. Young men in our ranks are watching to see in what spirit the ministers come to the investigation of the Scriptures, whether they have a teachable spirit and are humble enough to accept evidence and receive light from the messengers whom God chooses to send. We must study the truth for ourselves. No man should be relied upon to think for us. No matter who he is or in what position he may be placed, we are not to look upon any man as a criterion for us. We are to counsel together and to be subject one to another. But at the same time, we are to exercise the ability God has given us in order to learn what is truth. Each one of us must look to God for divine enlightenment. We must individually develop a character that will stand the test in the day of God. We must not become set in our ideas and think that no one should interfere with our opinions. When a point of doctrine that you do not understand comes to your attention, go to God on your knees, that you may understand what is truth, and not be found as were the Jews, fighting against God. While warning men to beware of accepting anything unless it is truth, we should also warn them not to imperil their souls by rejecting messages of light, but to press out of the darkness by earnest study of the Word of God. When Nathanael came to Jesus, the Savior exclaimed, "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered, "When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." John 1, verse 47-48. And Jesus will see us also in the secret places of prayer, if we seek him for light that we may know what is truth. If a brother is teaching error, those who are in responsible positions ought to know it. And if he is teaching truth, they ought to take their stand at his side. We should all know what is being taught among us, for if it is truth, we need to know it. The Sabbath school teacher needs to know it, and every Sabbath school scholar ought to understand it. We are all under obligation to God to understand what he sends us. He has given directions by which we may test every doctrine, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8, verse 20. But if it is according to this test, do not be so full of prejudice that you cannot acknowledge a point, simply because it does not agree with your ideas. It is impossible for any mind to comprehend all the richness and greatness of even one promise of God. One catches the glory of one point of view, another the beauty and grace from another point, and the soul is filled with the heavenly light. If we saw all the glory, the spirit would faint. But we can bear far greater revelations from God's abundant promises than we now enjoy. It makes my heart sad to think how we lose sight of the fullness of blessing designed for us. We content ourselves with momentary flashes of spiritual illumination, when we might walk day after day in the light of His presence. Dear brethren, pray as you never before prayed, for beams from the Sun of Righteousness to shine upon the Word, that you may be able to understand its true meaning. Jesus pleaded that His disciples might be sanctified through the truth, the Word of God. Then how earnestly should we pray that He who searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, He whose office it is to bring all things to the remembrance of God's people, and to guide them into all truth, may be with us in the investigation of His holy word. M.S.